you know, you've already told me where you're from and everything, but just tell me about how it is, think back as to how you ended up in the military and kind of your journey into World War II. And just go whenever, whoever wants to start. Alice, you get to say, because it's your house.
Well, then I'm last. I get to choose. Well, I don't think I would have gone in the service if it hadn't been for Kenny Trowbridge. I was engaged to him, when he was killed, he was in the Marines.
Oh.
He was only over, I think it was Ontario, and that's the first place they were.
Yeah.
And how old was he at the time when he was killed?
Oh, gosh, what year was that? 44.
I would say 44.
44, mm-hmm. In 44, yeah. Because he was only there a short time.
So you were engaged to him?
Yeah, in the process.
Uh-huh.
And he'd written a letter to his mother and his sister. They were supposed to take me to Duluth to get a cedar chest, of all things, old-fashioned. But after he was killed, then we went, I didn't want anything like that from my family at all. So they bought me a locket. That's what I wanted, with his name on it and a picture of him in it. That's all I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
And how did you end up, now did you tell me you worked
in a PX yeah.
In North Carolina?
Yeah.
So how did you end up, and where was this, where were you at the time that your fiancé was killed?
I was here. In Two Harbors, yeah.
And so how did you end up in North Carolina?
I just decided I was going in the Marines, and I did.
Yeah.
It's as easy as that.
What did your family think about
that? They didn't discourage me. I had two brothers in the service at the time too, so my mother had three stars instead of two.
Mm-hmm. And she wasn't. Were you the only daughter?
No, I had an older sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so she already had two sons that were off to war.
Yeah.
And now she was gonna send a daughter off.
Yes.
Too.
But the daughter came home. So did one of the sons too.
Yeah. Your brother.
My
your
younger brother. Yeah.
The
other one was killed in the Philippines.
Uh-huh.
The beginning of the war.
Yeah. Haley?
Yes.
How'd you end up wherever you ended up at?
Well,
did you end up at?
I was working at a defense plant in Milwaukee, and I had friends in the service, and I got disgusted with the company because the man working on the spindles next to me, he was making more money than I was, and I was doing the same doggone work. Mm-hmm. So I said, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to go in the service because at that time, I already had a brother that had been killed in Germany, and a nephew in Canada. And I thought, well, this is it, which I did. I went right down to the volunteer service, and it didn't take long.
Yeah. What was your brother's name? And where was
Clarence.
He killed? Clarence. Mm-hmm. And where was he killed?
In Germany.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And so you joined the Air Corps?
Yes.
And what was this defense, this plant in Milwaukee?
Yeah, well, we were making parts for submarines.
Well, no
itty bitty things, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on a four spindle drill press.
Yeah.
And things were checked all the time, and you had to meet their criteria, otherwise you weren't going to last.
Yeah.
Which I did, but I didn't like the job.
Yeah, but you were good at it, though.
I was,
and
darn
you,
it.
And you were better than the guy.
Yeah. Well, these guys, they were, well, you know, the wages back then, they weren't very good.
No.
But these guys were making about half as much again as what I was. Yeah. And I was doing their work.
Yeah, that's not fair.
So I talked to the union on them, because during the war, the union meant nothing.
Yeah, right, right.
But anyway, I said, this is it.
Yeah. How'd you choose the Air Corps?
We had a choice at that time, and I chose the Air Corps because I felt that was it would get me off the ground a little bit, which it sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I had a lot of opportunities when I was stationed out there, especially in Mountain Home, because we were so far away from everything else. So if there was a plane going out for parts any one of these days, and if you had time enough so you could get a 3-day pass, you could go with as long as you got a parachute.
Oh.
Yeah. So I flew quite a bit in the West.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And there was one group that had come back from flying their missions overseas, and they were a great group. they'd know about these trips, at short trips. Mm-hmm. So they'd send the word up to us. So whoever could go would go. Mm-hmm. And we called that particular group our special class. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I even have a picture of them at home with all of them. And we felt it was real safe going with him, yeah, with the captain, because when he was overseas, he landed in every possible condition. And one of our trips took us to San Rafael, California, mm-hmm, and we were going to land on a municipal airport in a B-24. So, well, all we could say was pray and say, well, he's done it before.
Yeah, so, yeah. Short runway?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, yeah. Real short. Yeah. And, oh, he put the brakes on. You know, you almost go right into the cockpit. Yeah. Yeah. But I had a lot of opportunities, but I also worked hard. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was mostly on what they call the maintenance line. That is, we had our office. Not the first office I was in, and we were shoved back in the corner. Mm-hmm. But after someone else moved, then we got the nice office that looked out at all the airplanes.
Mm-hmm. Where was this at?
I spent most of my time in Mountain Home, Idaho. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's nothing there. Sagebrush and us. That's all. But
I've heard of it.
You haven't.
Mountain now you Home. Have.
It's still active. It's still active.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
It's still a base for.
They refer to it as a base.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, be darned.
But they're still open.
Did you ever go back?
I haven't yet, but I have a friend that drove in there.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
I can find a guy. I'm sure there's a B-24 we can find.
Yeah, that's right. Find a B-24.
Go for one ride and find a short runway,
yeah,
somewhere.
And because we were so far away from everything. For instance, now our mess sergeant was a great gal. She loved all of us, mm-hmm, and she'd do anything for all of us. So if there was a holiday coming up, she would plan a meal where everyone there could invite a friend, male friend normally, mm-hmm, and she would put on the nicest dinner for all of us. Jeez. At Christmas time, you should have seen what she did for us. But she warned us, when that food truck comes in, I'm going to be first in line. I'm going to make sure my girls get turkey. Yeah. She was the greatest gal. Yeah.
And how many people were on this base?
Well, there were 230 WACs. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and the number on the base, that was always changing because we had groups come in to train. They'd bring in a group, mm-hmm, they'd pass their qualification, then they'd bring in another bunch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what would you do on the maintenance line?
Well, yes, we had to. In the office, there was a huge blackboard. Every plane that we had was listed on this board, mm-hmm, and with all their numbers, and if they were in commission or out of commission. If they were out, you darn well make sure that the parts come in for it, because mm-hmm, we were called on that several times. Well, the parts didn't come in. How can it be out of commission? It has to be out of commission.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, everything was displayed behind us. And when one plane was fixed, we'd go over and change the board so that if anyone called, then we'd have the information right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And were the different kind of planes? Did they service different kind of planes?
Or mostly B-24s. We had some B-29s come in, yeah, but they didn't stay long.
Right.
And then we had a lot of small Ps, P-30s? Mm-hmm. What? P something.
Yeah, that sounds right.
A two-people plane. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And we had them on the board, too.
Yeah.
So,
I'll be darned.
Uh-huh. I met a lot of nice people coming in and out of the office and everything.
Yeah.
And those that were stationed there, they were great. You know, I was thinking the other day, we never ever had any harassing.
Mm-hmm.
We never had any raping.
Mm-hmm.
None of that. Mm-hmm. They respected us and we respected them.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, down in St. Scholastica, they had a rape case in the Pioneer Hall.
Mm.
Well, that happened once when Lori was there, but someone had left the door ajar. Mm-hmm. See, you don't do those things.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, in the service, it was all respect.
Yeah. I was just watching a special the other night on PBS called Carrier. It was really interesting. It was life on an aircraft carrier.
Yes.
The Nimitz.
That's,
now.
That's, mm-hmm.
And man, that looked rough. Of course, they have women and men serving together, and they were, and their episode last night was basically talking about all the various relationships that are going on on this carrier, and why the Navy discourages it and such. And I thought, man, that's a rough life. I'm glad I went in the radio business and not in the Navy. June, how'd you end up where you ended up?
Well, let's see. My husband left for the service a week before Christmas, in 1942, I guess it was.
And when
he went
were you
in. He was into the Seabees. Yeah. We were married that August 15th of that year. And anyway, I stayed with my aunt in Duluth. I was working down there for Twin Port Sales, servicing jukeboxes and slot machines, mostly jukeboxes. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I went down to the Army recruiting office one day. I had never heard of the Women Marines, and the Marine recruiting officer was in there taking care of it for the lunch, during the lunch hour. Mm-hmm. So that's how I ended up in the Marines.
Oh, uh-huh.
Just on the spur of the moment.
I went down there, and if he wouldn't have been there, well, I don't know what would have happened, but then I left in, I enlisted in June and left in August on our anniversary of things, August 15th. Yeah.
And how long were you married before your husband shipped off to?
Well, August 15th of that year.
Of the same year,
we had been engaged, and then when he got his call, he decided he wanted to get married. So that's how that went.
When he left, he didn't know you were going to join the Marines.
No, but I wrote to him. I got permission.
Yeah. He was okay.
Well, I suppose he thought I better let her go. Well, what else? Probably go anyway.
I was thinking.
And where did you end up at?
Well, went to boot camp and motor transport school in Camp Lejeune. Is that where you were?
Yeah, Lejeune all the time. Never lived there.
And then went by troop train out to Camp Elliott in San Diego. Then I was with the first 90 women that went to Camp Pendleton. Mm-hmm. And I was in motor transport. I worked. I was supposed to drive trucks, you know. But I ended up in the military gas station down there and eventually was in charge.
Hmm. Okay. And that was at Pendleton?
Camp Pendleton.
Yeah.
And 25 years later, I went out to visit my son at Camp Pendleton.
Oh, isn't that so?
Yeah. Did you go pump some gas just for old times?
Well, it was still there, but things had changed quite a bit.
Yeah. And how long were you all in the service? Till the end of the war?
Till the end,
2 years.
Yeah.
2 years.
Yeah. Nobody made it a career or anything. Oh. Yeah.
No idea.
Well, we were offered, that's what I want to talk about.
Well, we were offered one of the
lieutenants
said, why don't you stay in? We'll put you in the main PX and you can work your way up there. I'd already worked to the office at the PX I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I'm going home. Well, we'll give you another stripe. I said, no, I'm going home. So I went home.
And what was your rank when you went
Corporal.
Home?
Corporal.
And another stripe would have made you?
A sergeant, but what's that? Maybe a couple bucks a month more.
And Haley, how about you?
I ended up a sergeant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My basic training was in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And It rained every day, January, February, it rained.
Did you do a lot of marching in the Marines?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. What's the training, especially for Marines? Nothing against the Air Corps.
But. Platoon sergeant would come in and say, well, dress for rain, and the sun would come out. Dress for the sun, rain.
So they were as good at forecasting weather as they are today.
Just like today.
Yeah. Did you find when you signed up to go into the service, was there any part where you said, well, this is sure different than I thought it was going to be?
We were too busy. They kept you busy.
Yeah.
So you didn't you were happy to hit that sack at night.
You bet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So it was what you expected.
Well, it wasn't. Well, not exactly, but it didn't do anything to make you wish you hadn't done it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I'm happy I was in the service.
Me too.
You get an experience that you'll never forget, mm-hmm. and it's to your benefit. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel about it.
Yeah. And June, you too?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
I'm only in touch with one person now that I was in the service with, And several years ago, we took a trip out to Boston to see another woman that we had been in service with. Mm-hmm. She was ill with cancer, and she died shortly after. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, we're happy that we had gone. Yeah. She had a little one of those little chord organs, and I could play that, and we sang the Marine Corps hymn, of course. Yeah.
Good for you.
Well, what was your favorite? You say you got something out of being in the service. What was your favorite part about being in the service, and especially people you met that made an impression? I'm sure you met a lot of folks, but I mean maybe people you met that made a particular impression, or skills you picked up, or experiences you had. Anything?
Well, I don't know. I think the companionship, or the sharing of, I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
But you know, the people that you were with, we all had a cause, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And ours was to relieve a man for duty.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that's what I was doing. I was pumping gas.
Yeah.
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 Right. Haley, how about you?
Well, it's like June said, you just learn to share and respect one another, and always be helpful to whoever might need some help. Sometimes you see a gal that's bawling her eyes out because she was homesick.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, a bunch of us nuts would gather around, and that would take care of that.
You know, and another thing, some of those girls had never washed a sock.
No.
Or so I taught some of them how to iron their shirt. You know, we had shirts and ties and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So some of them need, and because I was married, I think I was sort of the mother type to some of these kids.
Yeah.
And I probably was older than some, I mean younger than some of them.
Yeah.
But still, sort of had the respect of being a married person.
I see, yeah. But they didn't know how to wash a sock.
Didn't know how to wash, and didn't know how to iron, you know.
They were brought up in the Depression, were they?
I don't know, but they were city kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, you all did grow up in the Depression.
Absolutely.
And I was thinking, this really doesn't have anything to do with the war, per se, but I was thinking about this the other day while listening to the president, I think it was yesterday morning, talk about the price of fuel, price of gas, blah, 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 blah. How would you compare the general feeling, I guess, in the country toward tough times when you were growing up versus what you sense now?
Well, there were no wars going on when we were growing up. You know, you felt safer.
Mm-hmm.
We did in Woodland anyway, and outside of Duluth.
Yeah.
Of course, we never got out of Woodland either until we went to high school.
Mm-hmm.
But so that could have made a difference in how some, we weren't considered city kids.
Mm-hmm.
We were out in the boondocks somewhat.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I was definitely a country kid.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we had no buses yet to run out our way. So we would, the parents would rent from another family in town, and we would stay, I would stay in town for the 5 school days, then I'd go back to the farm
mm-hmm.
on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, but yet there were some kids, though, that didn't refer to me as a country kid because they came from Nymor. Well, that was almost country to them.
Yeah, well, we walked to school. It was just about a mile until Tom Peterson, who lived about a half a mile below us, he started school and his mother was on the school board. So then we walked up to the corner and got a ride. And then when I went to high school, we went to Cherry, and that was 15 miles away or more, probably.
How'd you get there?
Bus.
Oh, did you head school
the bus? The bus picked us up,
Mm-hmm.
When you were, when you got out of the military, what was that like? I mean, was it any kind of a shock being in the military, then one day, then not being in the military, having a war, and then not having a war? Did that take any getting used to, or were you able to just kind of pick up where you left off?
That's what you did.
Well, my husband was released first. He come back from overseas, and so then I had to find a place for him to live out there in California for there for 2 weeks.
You were, yeah.
Before, and then when I was finally was discharged, then we come back home here. I don't know. We've had to find a place to live,
yeah.
And he went back to work, and that's how that went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did he do when he went back?
He was
to
a
work?
Plumber.
He was a plumber.
City plumber.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And eventually, then he was what do they call it? One that oversees everything in the city.
Oh.
For a while. What do they call those guys?
Oh, the...
Who's in charge.
Yeah. Like the clerk of the works type of thing.
Oh,
you know,
but
there's
a special term.
Yeah.
But anyway, basically, he was a plumber.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good
and
plumber.
And a good plumber.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a lot of widows in this town that were unhappy when he died.
You can say that twice,
yes.
Joseph.
Yes, yes. That's true. And I mean, he'd try to fix things, you know, for them instead of the expensive way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Haley, how about you? What happened
when I got out of the service?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was discharged in December, and I was married the 26th of January. So I had I maybe had more adjustment getting on, getting a. Used to being married than it would be had I gone elsewhere.
Let's see, Harry was my husband was the last person I went out on a date with when we left.
Mm-hmm.
First day I ever had with him, never wrote to each other or anything.
Oh.
When I got home, I was down at the Legion with a bunch of girls.
Yeah.
Harry walked in the door and walked right over. How about a dance? I married him.
So you see, the adjustments weren't all that bad.
Yeah.
No, they weren't.
But why didn't you write to him?
I didn't even know him. I,
oh, really?
Yeah, he picked me up at the Legion.
That's okay. That's a good place.
Yeah.
And just had walked me home. That's what it was, because I was with a bunch of girls.
Uh-huh.
And he walked me home, which was a block, one block.
Yeah.
And then never saw him again till after the war.
Oh,
and met him at the Legion. And he walked me home again. And that was it.
Yeah. That's cute.
It was all a sign. A woman I was talking to the other day, now she actually wasn't in the service. She was in Red Cross.
Oh, yeah.
She went off to Burma. And she was GI Jill radio. You know, they
mm-hmm.
radio to the mm-hmm. troops. And she said that that she was always bothered that women veterans didn't get the recognition that men did. I don't know if you saw that series that was on PBS a couple of, 6-7 months ago, the war, 17-part series. It was really good, but it was all men.
Yeah,
and,
I saw most of it.
So... Have you ever thought that, or
have
an opinion on that?
June, you have too, haven't you?
No.
They got the men got the recognition.
Oh,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And without taking away the men, the women who served in World War II presumably deserved that recognition as well, right? I mean, or not? I don't know.
We're
away
from home. You know,
yeah.
we couldn't live at home like other women did.
No.
And you definitely were under orders.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't just come and go as you please.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It was a different life.
Oh,
but
yes.
It was a good life, though. I really enjoyed my time in the service.
I
really did.
Okay, now this is the part I don't get, because I wasn't in the service. Everybody I talked to said when they were in the service, they didn't like the service that much. But now that they're out of it, they say exactly that same thing. Boy, that was a good life. So
it was. It
that
was
point
a fun
at which
life.
They changed their tune, or
I don't know. Of course, now it was different for me because I was in a PX
mm-hmm.
on the base right where I started out. Now
yeah.
you gals weren't,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I was used to the place.
Yeah.
And when it opened up, you know, we were a restricted area, where I was, and the PX was restricted. All women.
Mm-hmm.
Never any men. Well, then when they opened it up, the men could come in then to the PX. Oh, Lord, I was still there. And it was it was entirely different.
Really?
Yeah.
When were you there, Alice?
In, I never left there, June. I
go,
went
But what year did you take your training in that?
Let's see, I went in 44 and we went out in 46.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. See, you were there, after I was there.
After?
In 43. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were you at Camp Lejeune?
Yeah.
That's I didn't know that.
Took training, regular boot camp and then motor transport school.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to drive all day long sometimes, yeah. Big trucks and jeeps and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah. Well, it was fun. Oh, gosh. None of us knew it. Of course, we were all women that worked there. But, of course, the Sarge was a man, and so was his assistant.
Uh-huh.
And he got picked up for selling cigarettes. Black market. Our Sarge, yeah, the big honcho.
Oh, hey!
Yeah.
We weren't the least bit sorry to see him go.
Yeah.